This morning, as I said earlier, called Stories of Grace. It is stories of God's grace, the stories of people of Grace Church. And in a couple of moments' time, I'm just going to hand over. We've got a few people who are going to come and spend just a few minutes sharing some of their story of mainly kind of in the last year or two, but may go beyond that to reflect on just the remarkable truth that God's work, His grace, is at work in our lives today. We are a family together here this morning. We, Grace Church, are a community and a family. And it can often, we kind of go through the motions. Stories are happening all around us all the time. Every one of us is going through things all the time. And these are just great opportunities to reflect on that. I'll just introduce them for a moment or two, and then we'll get in. One thing I'm sure that everyone who is going to share this morning will agree on, and I think probably everyone in this room will agree on, is this simple reality that life is not easy. And it is a simple reality. And at the same time, it's one that we can often struggle to get our heads around, understandably. We kind of know it is hard, but we're still kind of surprised by it occasionally. I think it's one of the hardest things about growing up. You learn life isn't easy, and you learn that in a different way, at a different pace, obviously, depending on your upbringing, but and things you experience. And it's because life is not easy because we live in a fallen world, a broken world where man has sinned and made up, and I think everyone knows that. Everyone knows we're in a broken world to some degree. We know it's not ideal, and we know in some ways it should be better than it is. But I think if you ask anyone, is life easy? No one is going to say, yeah, easy. No one. We know it's not, and yet we're surprised by things when they're tricky sometimes, and we can get surprised. Two of the things I love about the Bible, particularly the New Testament, firstly, it never denies this reality that life is not easy. I've used too many negatives there. It's very honest about how life can be hard. It talks about it a lot, actually. The more you read it, if you look for it, the New Testament, again, particularly, talking so much about how these present sufferings, these difficult times that we live in. And I don't think that will be denied by the stories this morning either. I don't think anyone will come up and say life is easy. So I love that about the Bible. It doesn't deny that life can be hard, but it does. Second thing I love is it does offer hope always. The New Testament, the Bible, it's made clear, as I say, multiple times, really throughout. One example is in 1 Peter. If you haven't got a Bible or a device, let me just turn there. 1 Peter chapter 5 is towards the end of your Bible. Just a few verses to read, which I just think reflect this truth and set us up for what we're doing this morning as we hear some stories from people. 1 Peter 5, I'll read from verse 6, which says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." So it's through there. So you look at, it's right through that. Verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. There's an assumption of anxiety. There's an assumption of struggle in life. You've all got it. Cast it on God, and because he cares for you. That's the hope. God cares for you. He will lift you up, it says. There's an enemy who's against you. The Bible's honest about that. There's a devil prowling to be against you, to tear you down. The Bible is honest that everyone is suffering together. You know that the believers across the world are undergoing this. It's not just you, and it feels like it. Always me. Why does it always happen to me? It happens to everyone. Everyone goes through it. And then verse 10, just a beautiful verse, sums it up. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He's the God of all grace. He loves you. He helps us. He loves us even when we don't deserve it. He has called us as his people to eternal glory. It says eternal glory after you've suffered a little while. Yeah, you'll suffer. It's a little while compared to the glory he's called us to. And he will restore you. He will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And I like, to him be the power, to him be glory. Yeah, for sure. To him be the glory. I think these stories will reflect all of that. As we hear these, life is hard and God is gracious. And his grace sustains us. And as hard as it gets, we are awaiting eternal glory. It's an exciting thing. It's a great thing to do, to hear these stories. These people will share in turn. We're going to, you know, be lots of encouragement. It takes guts and nerves to do this. So welcome them as they come up and let's be very supportive. I just want to pray and then we'll get into that. Father God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the truth of the Bible, for the honesty that life is not cushy. It's hard, but that God is gracious. And that is, as Emma shared, is his grace and mercy is wide, not narrow. We thank you. I pray for everyone sharing this morning, telling their story. Would they know your grace now? I pray, fill them with your spirit, encourage them. Encourage us all as we do this together as your family. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, you get to kick us off? Let's give Paul a clap as he comes up.
Good morning, church. Thank you. That's nice, isn't it? That's nice. I'm not very good at talking about me. I've spent many a time speaking to lots of people about various subjects, usually at work and so on. But when it comes to talking about me, I don't do very well. But what I do know is I'm in a safe place. So if I start losing it again, I know I'm in a trusty place here. I spoke probably 6 or 8 weeks ago about the cancer diagnosis I had last year and the journey we went on through that. And I just want to give a recap this morning as to where I was on that journey and where I am now. So those of you who didn't hear, cancer diagnosis last year, cancer in the bladder, needed 6 infusions of chemo. I managed 4 before going to hospital with an infection. So we never did complete the course, but they were hoping that maybe the 4 has done the job. So on Friday, I go for a cystoscopy, which is basically a camera having a look-see, what's going on, and sure enough, the cells are still there. So now I'm due another course of chemo. And do you know what? I'm feeling really good about that. I am feeling so, pleased is wrong the word, but satisfied that we belong to a care system that can look at these things and say, no, we need to do a bit more. And that, for me, is where my faith in God is just so entrenched. I've heard a few comments is the wrong word, but anyway, I've heard a few times this morning from Pete and from Joe about faithfulness, and it's that faithfulness we have in our Father God. It's that faith, that trust. It's the same as the relationship with Lindy. It's faithful. It's trust. It's implicit with each other, and I have that deep trust in our Father God that this next round of chemo will actually get rid of these cells once and for all. And for that, Father God, I am really satisfied. So I think I've said what I want to say, Joe.
Thanks, Paul. Let me just pray. I mean, I won't do this with everyone, but just because Paul is still in this place, and this is this is fresh, this is Friday. Paul's told, yeah, we're going to go for more chemo. So I'll just pray for Paul. We thank you for Paul's faith, God. And yeah, as we, you know, as he kicks us off this morning, kind of paints the picture brilliantly that we're still on this journey. None of these stories have got a neat bow on top, really. And Paul's in it. And we pray, Lord, we thank you for his heart of encouragement, where he's not just kind of positive thinking, but full of faith in God. And I pray that this would be, as Paul's confident, this would do it as he goes again for some more chemo, that would get rid of it. We pray you would heal Paul. We thank you for him. We pray keep showing him your faithfulness and using him in that way to bless us and so many others. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Paul. Have a seat. Liz.
Hello. He was quite succinct. That's quite pressure, isn't it? I'm not, just in case you were aware, I'm not going to be as succinct as that, but I have got time limit. So I think Joe's going to share a little bit about how Haven't Sight started and the story of Haven't Sight. But sort of alongside that, we've had our own story as a family over the last few years, and many of you know bits of it, maybe all of it. The last time I did a testimony actually was January 2018, so it was just before this site began, so we were in Chichester, and I was actually sharing the testimony of how our little boy Reuben, who's now five, had been diagnosed with diabetes the summer before, so summer 2017. And, you know, God's faithfulness just through that time was incredible, and I shared that in the January, not knowing what was to come for that year. And I call it that year, or the year, sometimes I call it something else, but it was the year, and it turned out to be the most difficult year of our lives so far, to be honest. But also a year where we saw God's miracles and his provision. And so I kind of want you to hear how good God was, not how awful our year was, because it was rubbish. But we also had great bits. Haven't Sight was launched, which was all really, really exciting. And as we entered into 2018, we knew that Zeph was poorly too, but we didn't know why. And he'd had some blood tests, and we thought it probably was that he had celiac disease, which runs in my family. It turned out that he did, and the week that Haven't Sight began, I think it was on the Wednesday after the first Sunday, he went to Southampton for an endoscopy, which is a camera down the throat, to check. That all went smoothly. It did confirm it a couple of months later, you know, it all adjusted for him. On the day after that endoscopy, he got chickenpox, fairly standard thing for children to have. He was really well with it, and then on the following Sunday, so the second Sunday of Haven't Sight, he was admitted to hospital with blood poisoning because his chickenpox spot on his back, he's got a very cool scar, he might like to show you one day. Don't go and ask him, though. Not that kind of kid. It was infected, it had got into his blood, so he was really unwell. So he then spent a few days in hospital. That kind of lingered on, that spot healed so slowly. I think it was the June that he was discharged, so from the March to the June, that he was discharged from the nurses at our GP surgery. He was going in every 3 days to have it redressed, and it was just horrible for him. So that was that. One moment, there's a little bit more. Through it all, though, you know, God was teaching us. And so even in that few weeks, I was thinking, what on earth are you doing, God? We've just started this site, and I need to be there. I want to be there. And he was just showing us that actually, he doesn't need us to build his church. You know, he will build this church, and he has built this church, whether Joe or I are here or not. It did feel quite never-ending at times, and yet we felt and knew God's providence. We knew his faithfulness. He was just reminding us constantly in little tiny ways, in the way that we would meet random Christian doctors on our hospital admissions and people just blessing us in tiny ways. So we never doubted that, although it was incredibly hard. Then around May, June time, Reuben also started to look poorly again. It turned out he also had celiac disease and was diagnosed fairly quickly. Another hit, it felt like, and I remember feeling very overwhelmed, but also in that moment recognising just how amazing church is, church family, church community. We're made for that. We're made to be dependent on other people, and we had to be. We were forced to be, as much as I didn't want to be. And I learnt lots through that, and I'm still learning that. It was a very much a blur, really. The list continues. Reuben then broke his arm, very mildly, but it was just another thing, another A&E trip. And then Zeph broke his arm 6 weeks later or so, and he was in plaster for quite a while. It's kind of becoming, it was laughable. Like, we did laugh, didn't we? And it was like, oh no, you're joking. I think I sent you to hospital for one of them, because I was like, I can't go again. This is getting embarrassing now. Joe was preaching. Oh, yeah, Zev broke his arm here, actually, just to add. He broke it at church. Joe was preaching, and then I was like, you've got to take him. I'm like, I can't be dealing with this anymore. So that was the end of the drama, as such. Whirlwind, whistle stop tour. In amongst all that, there is so much of God's faithfulness, so many small miracles, and so much I could say. I could go on for hours. It was a horrible time, and yet there was so much of God in it that it was almost a blessing in the most weird way. And then at the end of 2018, beginning of 2019, we had to then process all of that and come to terms with what had happened. And I found that really difficult. That was probably one of the worst bits for me, in coming to terms with what on earth had just happened to us and our children. I found myself questioning God a lot, crying a lot. Probably many of you have seen me cry at church whilst listening to the preach or something. I did a lot of crying. And grieving, really. That's what we were doing. We were grieving what we'd lost. We were living a life we didn't expect to live. And many of you will be testifying to stuff that you've been through that you didn't expect to happen. And you have to grieve what you've lost. It wasn't how he imagined our future to be. And yet, in our weakness, God strengthened us. He strengthened me to be a mum to the boys and to cope with all the various things that we now had to do and think about. And then he blessed us with Maya, who is such a blessing. And yet, she wasn't our hope. She wasn't our hope out of the situation. But God did kind of ordain the very moment that she was born as a kind of end of that season. I'm going to walk you into a new season now. And it was very much like that for us. As I say, she wasn't the solution to our problems, and she isn't. But God just kind of gently led us out of that moment of feeling just, oh my goodness, what has happened? We processed it, and we're still processing it at times. But yeah, there's been blessing upon blessing, and he continues to help us. I have to regularly lift my eyes to him, remember that he's faithful. Remember that song, Remember How Our God Has Never Failed Us. I love that song, and that I just have to constantly remind myself, he's been faithful, he is faithful, he's going to be faithful. So yeah, I'm realizing more and more that I'm dependent on him. Ultimately, I can't do anything in my own strength. I'm not supposed to. And I'm dependent on my church family. So I'm very grateful for all of you who stand by us and our kids and stood by us, particularly in that year. 2 Corinthians 12 says, my grace is sufficient for you, verses 9 and 11, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Delight. I never thought I'd be able to relate to that. But I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I never thought I'd be able to look back and think that God was good in that time, because it didn't feel like it was good. But the more that time passes and the more I see that is true, and I can see how God is using it for good in my kids' life, in the people around them, in their lives, in the people around us as a family, I'm in no doubt that God is good. That's one thing I held on to. God is good, and he is going to continue to be good. And his church is a hope for us as a family, but also for this broken world which we're living in. And one day, we will be in eternity, and there won't be any celiac disease or diabetes or gluten-free skanky bread. All of those things will be gone because Jesus is coming back, and there will be no tears. And I hold on to that hope because of Jesus. But yeah, I just wanted to share. There was a whirlwind, but God was faithful, and he continues to be.
Told you I wouldn't be sitting. Yeah.
Thanks, Liz. We haven't really chatted it out, have we? But yeah, that's us. and ongoing, again, as all of these are. Dave, you good to come? Come and give Dave a clap.
Probably just going to read through this because otherwise I'll go completely off script. Okay, so just looking at the last few months, really. So during lockdown, I really missed being part of the physical church community. I still felt connected through our Zoom life group and with the wider church through YouTube, a lot of people we hadn't seen before, but it just wasn't the same. And it felt so good to be back together when we were able to. However, I was really unsure about going to the Great Grace Campout in August. I was quite nervous and anxious about it. We hadn't really been camping for a very long time. The kids were really excited about it, so we decided to go, and I agreed mainly for them. It was such a positive experience for me. I got to know people from our site better. I met people from the other sites. There's a real sense of belonging and community. And it was so good just being with other people and worshipping God together. The evening entertainment was fun, and I even overcame my nerves to take part in the karaoke, which was a lot of fun as well. So thanks, Neil, for joining me in that. After one of the morning meetings, I think on the Sunday morning it was, I went forward to speak with Thomas Bishop and to pray with him. And I often struggle to read the Bible and pray. I know that I mess up and do things that I know that I shouldn't. I do listen to a lot of worship and other Christian music, which I love, but sometimes it feels like I'm experiencing God through what other people have written and put down and put into music, rather than having my own experience. And since I became a Christian, my journey has been up and down. So every time I draw closer to God, it feels like I'm being pulled back to the world, and it's a constant struggle. So Thomas prayed for me, and he gave me some advice. He reminded me about God's grace and love no matter what I do. He spoke about the passage from Ephesians about putting on the armor of God. And also he said, if I'm struggling with reading the Bible, just start off with, in the morning, just reading one verse, and one verse a day is something just to start building on and to not put too much pressure on myself. The last few months since then have been a bit up and down. I've got bipolar disorder. I shared a couple of years ago when we had this service about that. And I was diagnosed when I was 18 years old, and I've been sectioned and in hospital 5 times. And the last time was 5 years ago. And it always seems to be about September time, so about that time of year I always feel a bit anxious. And I was really unsteady this year because there's a lot of seasonal factors happening. Now, coming back from the camp, I felt revived and on track with God. And it may sound impossible to do, but I overdid it by reading the Bible and trying to focus on God too much. So it was too much stimulation for me. I also wasn't getting enough sleep. The kids were back at school, so the routines were all changing following the summer holidays. I had a work change coming up, and still the effects of COVID and isolation were really present in me, especially as I'm working from home, so I don't get out and see people that much. I've always been very self-aware of my symptoms and was able to manage to reach out for help for the bipolar. I believe I've experienced a mild to moderate episode since September. I've taken on additional medication, but I've not had to go to hospital, which has been great. My mood's been up and down. I've been very panicky and anxious at times, and I found it hard to concentrate. And it has been the worst that I've felt since I was in hospital 5 years ago. I really felt that I was going to have to go back into hospital, but I felt like God's protected me and kept me away from that. It's been a real help to be able to share with people around me, particularly people in life group and other Christian friends, about how I'm doing, and I felt surrounded in prayer. My work have been really supportive. I spent a lot of time on reduced hours, and then I had 6 weeks off completely. I started back last Monday on a phased return, so I'm going to gradually build up my hours. And then at New Year, I usually try and make resolutions, which are usually completely unrealistic about what I want to achieve in the year. So I always say I want to get closer to God. I want to be a better dad. I want to improve my fitness, lose weight. I want to learn to play the guitar, which I've kind of had a guitar for at least 10 years. Longer than that, actually, because it was before Joshua was born. And I've always wanted to write a book about my experiences with bipolar and how I became a Christian and so on. But it never seems to happen. I'm never satisfied, and I always feel that I'm not achieving what I should. This year, however, I felt like at New Year's Eve, I felt that instead of trying to think of those resolutions, I felt that God spoke to me, and he just said that verse from Matthew 6, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And there was another verse that Joe mentioned just before we started here, from 1 Peter 5:6-7. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." And it just felt to me like it was a reminder that God is in control, and I need to put him first. And he can and he will do things through me in his timing, even if it's not what I expect him to do in my life. He is going to use me. It feels like I've just been on a difficult part of my journey, but I know that God's been with me, and he will continue to see me through it.
Well done, Dave. Well done. Couple of things. I think you said one thing in there. Just, I think you're reflecting on people's writing songs, you know, and finding other people's experiences and words helpful. You know, just a throwaway comment, but it's kind of what we're doing this morning, isn't it? You know, just we all know that these are more than just stories and that there's power in them, and reflecting on other people's experiences, and kind of we can, you know, we learn from that and teach things. I'm not going to miss up the opportunity to give a plug to the Grace Campout 2022, which is back by God's providence. Bank holiday weekend in August. Yes, that'd be amazing. It was great. A great time together. Pete. Yes, Pete. Go on, let's give Pete a clap.
Hello. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the last couple of years and my kind of experiences at work and how God's really provided for me there. I hated lockdown, if I'm honest with you. I'd always thought of myself as quite a kind of an introvert. I'd be fine just being able to sit in for 2 years and not have to go out and see people. Great stuff. But actually, when I got to it, and particularly with working from home, I really missed it. I really missed being in the office. I missed being around my colleagues, talking on Teams and WhatsApp, and everything else wasn't quite the same. It really found it hard. My work, I've been with the company I work with for coming on 19 years now, and I've been sort of on a track through that time and have got to a point now and where I'm in sort of a middle management role, which has worked really well for me. But at the end of last year, or just before the beginning of last year, when we were back in the office, there was one particular department. My team was in a really good place. Their workload had dropped right down because of the pandemic, and they were very successful. They had extremely good kind of customer satisfaction scores. I had a really happy team. I hadn't had anybody leave for about 3 years, and you know, I really had done well. I was really, really well thought of at work. There was another team that had, again, due to factors from the pandemic, had really fallen behind with their work, had really gotten into a tough place, had really gotten into a bad place. And so in September of 2020, I was asked if I would move over and manage that team for a few months to help them get back to where they needed to be, which I did. I took that opportunity to do that because I thought it'd be a really good way to show my kind of quality at work. I'd been looking for kind of a next step for a while, and it didn't seem to be there. So I did this, and for 3 months I managed this other team. And in that time, I managed to turn it around. They worked jolly hard, to be fair, but I managed to turn it around. I got them back within the service level agreements. I managed to keep them all because there were a couple of them were literally about to walk out. They were ready to go. I managed to keep them all in there. I managed to train up one of them and to the point where he was able to then take over managing the team afterwards. It was a real success story, and you know, I was thanked by the CEO for it at Christmas by email, and he came and spoke to me as well. So around that sort of time, there was an opportunity for a promotion for me. There was a new role that had come up, and I thought it might be really good for me. It was linked in with the stuff I'd been doing for the last 3 months, and I was encouraged to go for it. And I did, prepared really hard for the interview, did the interview online at home, dressed up for it, got all ready, and did this interview online, did it really well, probably the best interview I've ever given. And I really thought, great, I'm in with a really good shot of doing this. I couldn't think of anybody else in the business that was likely to go for the role as it was offered that was going to do it better than me. And I waited for a week or two, and then I found that I hadn't got it. And I was really disappointed. What they'd done is they'd moved the role up. They'd taken this role and made it kind of a step above where it had been. And the guy that had got it was someone that was a step above me at work, and someone I had a lot of time for. So I didn't mind losing it to him, but it was disappointing to be in that situation, because you know, I'd been consistently probably the best manager in my team, in my department at work for a number of years, had lots of experience, and I was looking for the next role, and I couldn't see where it was going to come from. Couldn't see where it was going to be, and I'd even spoken to my boss and put kind of a proposal to him as to how we might restructure the department that would give me a chance to get this extra role and what have you. And I'd gone that far as to do that. And I knew, actually, that he, you know, thought really highly of me and would have loved to have promoted me, but you have to have the money there, you have to have the position there, you can't just create another role for X thousand a year or whatever it is. That money's got to be budgeted into headcounts and all of that stuff. So I went back into my old job, then we went back into lockdown again, back to working from home, back to trying to get Esther to do her schoolwork at home, all the stuff that had driven me mad the year before. And during that time, as we kind of came back out of the lockdown, we had a worship night at church. We had one of our common worship nights, and Colin and I had gone along. We don't often go out on a Sunday night. It's not our favourite thing in the world, but we really felt to go to this one. And I remember we were all praying in groups together for stuff that was going on in our life. And I talked about my work situation. I talked about wanting to get that next step and actually being in a place where, because I'd done so well as a team manager, I'd almost managed myself out of work. I was actually quite bored. I had a deputy that was doing really well and moving up, and she wanted to move up, and she wanted my job, basically, and I kind of wanted her to have it. And Kayleen and another lady prayed for me and spoke into that situation, and actually what Joe brought from 1 Peter about humbling yourself really came into that. It wasn't that particular verse, but that really was appropriate today for me, and just to have peace with God about how it would happen and what have you. And I did. While this was all going on, Kayleen's job was under threat. Kayleen had been working in the pharmacy down there in Bedhampton for a number of years. I think it's fair to say you weren't massively happy there. It was a really tough time, particularly through the pandemic. Kayleen was worn out, very tired, working harder than she really should have been at that point, really struggling with it. And in the summer, they closed the pharmacy down there, and we'd kind of known it was coming. We didn't know what was going to happen, and we prayed through it. And praise God, God was enabled Kayleen to leave with a good redundancy package of money that she was able to go off work for 3-4 months before she had to even think about going back again. And that was a real blessing to us. And around that kind of sort of time, I had gone back into work, I'd gone back into the office, and again had been moved and seconded into another department to help them out with the problem. So, you know, I was in this place now where my department had been managed so successfully that I had someone that could run it for me, and I could go off and they barely noticed I was gone and do other things around the business. But the permanent change, the thing I was looking for, just hadn't come up, and I'd been praying about it. And then suddenly, in October, they advertised a new role elsewhere in the business, and one of the other managers in my department was successful in getting it. And at that point, my deputy on my team had also had another role come up, a team leader role in another department in the business, and with my encouragement had applied for it and gone for it and got it. And at that point, my boss said, right, we can do this now, and restructured the whole department so that I could have a new role managing a couple of the other managers and still managing my old team, but with a team leader in there to help me with the day-to-day stuff. And with a good, kind of solid, really substantial pay increase as well. And that meant that when Kayleen goes back to work, when Kayleen's looking for work, she can work less hours than she was doing before. She can work a lighter workload, have more time home, have more time helping Esther. It really was an answer to prayer, and God really spoke to me through that, and he said, you know, I had to wait, the time had to be right, he had a plan, and it has just been such a massive blessing. So now I'm massively busy again at work, which is, you know, I'm happy with, but just seeing God's provision through all of these different things that have come through this year has been a real blessing for me. And, you know, these things do happen, sometimes they take time, but you know, God's kind of taught me to wait this year and be ready, because he's always there. He's always got a plan for us. And, you know, next year, really looking to see more from him. He's amazing.
Thanks, Pete. That's really helpful. I think most of our lives are at work or whatever, you know, as in, like, whatever we're doing through the week. It's great. It's great context to talk about those things and how God's provision through those times, because we can often just see one another on a weekly basis and it kind of like this is our only lives. This is all we do, and there's obviously so much more to each one of us. And we got a few more, but I thought it'd be helpful as Liz kind of hinted at to just give paint a bit of a picture of Grace Church. And a little bit us as Haven't Sight, but Grace Church kind of before that and through the years, and you know, tell something of the story of Grace. A couple of weeks time we'll start preaching into Genesis and kind of origin stories, and this idea, because this is kind of where we all came from, and I think knowing a bit of our past helps us to know who we are and where we're going in some ways. So just some kind of highlights and some details, which many of us will know, many of us won't, and how we got to. But as we said, Grace Church is now in kind of three congregations, three locations, and in many ways feels like a pretty established church, an old one, but actually isn't that old. So 2005 was when God spoke to Steve and Joe Petch, who the couple that kind of planted this church into Chichester, which I don't know, it's not that long ago, is it? I thought 2005, and it was just a little pipe dream. In autumn of 2005, a small group started gathering and praying and kind of seeking God for it. And it was in January, beginning of 2006, that Grace started meeting in Oving Village Hall, or Oving, depending, I don't know why people call it that, but some do. And kind of, but even still, it was June really that it launched kind of publicly, and moved to Chai High School, for boys, I think it was, in those days. And then met there for a couple of years. I incidentally joined in 2007, when I came to university at Chichester. But again, even then, it felt like I was coming to a pretty established church, but it's crazy how young it was, really, kind of quickly grown. I think it was about 120 when I joined. Then 2008, moved from high school to the old Grace Centre, which was the other end of Terminus Road, where the new Grace Centre is, for those who know it, in Chichester, and was a leaky dump of a building. But Liz and I got married there, so for some reason, I don't really know. But because it was where our family was, our church family. But it's now been knocked down. It has a special place in our heart, I suppose. March 2010, David Thompson and his family moved to join Grace Church from Winchester Family Church, as it was. It's easy when you kind of tell these stories to just sound like, and it's been growing, lovely, 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 everything's been easy. And it obviously hasn't. And actually at that point, I think, was a particular kind of around that year. It was a really difficult time for Grace Church, and kind of just things coming out, difficult things going on. God's grace sustained us, but it was just a reality of life and therefore even church life, which we know. The opposition was on one. You know, the enemy was after Grace. I just want to make clear it's never a bed of roses. But God sustained, as I say, the church was kind of flourishing in its own way. And it was March 2013 that God had spoken pretty clearly to the eldership then, and led Grace Church to become a multi-site church. So it was just in Chichester initially. And then 2013 started meeting in Bognor, so that means like a year from now we'll have been multi-site for 10 years, which is crazy if you've been around that it's been that long. So we've been one eldership team throughout, one kind of vision, one budget and all of that, one church, but meeting in multiple locations from that point on. So then March 2013, a couple of years later, March 2015, we started meeting in Midhurst as a community. So three sites there. It was in beginning of January that Steve Petch then moved to Woking, which to the church I grew up in, funnily enough. And David Thompson took over leading the eldership team. And then March 2018, we launched here. That was great. As I'll kind of come back to that in a sec. We'll talk a bit more about that. But 2019, we purchased the Grace Centre. It's been kind of just boom, boom, boom. In Chichester, again, amazing story in it on its own of God's provision to enable that to happen. We moved in November of that year, and then March 2020, COVID. We've now been meeting at the Grace Centre in Chichester for longer post-COVID than we were pre-COVID. We really didn't have it for very long before, but obviously it was such a provision throughout lockdown and be able to do everything that we were doing there. So that was, I mean, we've, you know, we've heard enough and we'll hear more about COVID and lockdown and all that. But then June 2021, last June, we started meeting again in three sites, having decided it just wasn't kind of sustainable to keep going with all four. You know, obviously lockdown and COVID had had a hit in so many ways. And really feel God's led us in that, God's kind of approval in that. That was the right thing. And I shared, was it last week, a couple of weeks ago, about John and Sam Fever moving on. And it genuinely is totally unrelated. There's something they've been talking about for a couple of years. They're going to go and build a house, basically. I think they're buying a bit of a shack with John's sisters and down in Devon way. You know, really, without them, it definitely would have been unsustainable to keep going with Midhurst. So yeah, feel God's approval there. And then in autumn, I took on the leadership of the eldership team, which is its own journey for us, but it's also implication on us as a site and a community. It's been nuts, you know, really. It's been a kind of a crazy time. So just back to Havant then, let's talk about this a little bit more. Steve Petch actually had been talking about doing something in Havant as a community for a long time, before the days we were talking about multi-site or anyone had even heard of it. And actually Liz, goes way back. It was her final year at uni, which it would have been 2011, I think. And we were talking, she was at a thing, I don't know if it was a student's thing, where Steve Petch was talking about Havant, and Liz just felt, she wants to be part of that one day, whatever that might be. And we kind of knew together we would leave Chichester in some way, we wouldn't be able to afford to stay there, basically. But wanted to kind of get into a different kind of community. And so autumn 2014 was when we moved into the area. And we came thinking, yeah, we'll come along and support and get behind whoever wants to lead this thing. And God kind of just gradually revealed that he wanted us to do it. I joined the staff in 2018 in July. And part of that was with a view to, right, let's go for it. So that must have been, I've got that wrong, haven't I? 2017 it must have been. Yeah. Because it was, in July 2017, and with a view to then getting this going here in Havant. But also there were, a bunch of things I was doing, and it very much, launching here was a whole church thing. It wasn't just kind of a few, like, yeah, all right, you go do what you want. It was a church, felt it was right to do. I don't know what I'm doing. None of us know. But we feel God's led us in that. Few of us met at Havant URC in town for a few evenings and kind of praying together as we looked to get in. I was looking around at venues. Went up to Havant College and things and looked at other places where we could meet. And then it was March. I don't know what it is about March in Grace Church's history, but every site we have launched has been in March by some weird coincidence. And 42 of us met in the gym over there on March 18th, 2018. And as Liz said, we're kind of going for our own. Liz, I think, missed the three of the first four Sundays because of stuff going on. And by some weird, ugly symmetry, it was basically the same when we reopened again in June. We just had a bunch of stuff going on, and Liz, kept not being able to be here. But God has been so faithful since then, and it's been a journey, So March 2018, and it's kind of growing, and you've been around, you've had some rockier patches and frustrating, really frustrating lockdown, really, because it just is frustrating time for us as we were kind of coming established. I really love just these last two or three weeks. I feel like we're kind of getting in our rhythm again post lockdown, and even on setup this morning, it's just so smooth. And it's like, man, it takes some getting back, to get comfortable again. But great to be where we are. Where are we? you know, as I say, it's peaks and troughs. It's been hard work in lots of different ways. I'm so grateful for all of you, for this family that we are, for the support we have for one another. And there is a beautiful support here, you know. And you know, in a few minutes we'll have some tea and coffee. And just love those moments, the atmosphere of kind of brotherly and sisterly love for one another. And so grateful for everyone who's kind of been through, you know, was in that first 42 or whatever, and for everyone who's kind of joined or joining since. Such a joy to have you all as part of us. And I think it feels like an exciting time where we're at. So just things happening. Jonathan and Karis May, Johnny, he's got COVID, unfortunately, so he's not here. She was going to share. But, you know, they're feeling it's right in God to come and join us and serve alongside. And I think in the summer we'll look to move across. It's a significant step. And Guy and Wendy as well. I don't know. I think, yeah, the Guy's not here today, can't be here. Wendy's in the kids' work. But they're similarly looking to move to the area, having been kind of travelling from Chichester. And it's quite a statement to say, you know, we're going to move in. And so I just think this is an exciting time for us as a community. A lot of that going on. God has been so faithful. I love this family. It's great to reflect, I think. I hope it doesn't just feel like you've indulged me as I've done some little self-reflection. But yeah, good. Thanks, Jeff. So yeah, as we go forward, just continuing to trust God to continue to work through us. I think we are leaning on God to grow us in every way, but numerically, I think, you know, there is a reality that a certain number, it becomes, it's harder work, it gets more sustainable as we grow. So we keep praying for that others will come and, you know, believers will come and join us and serve alongside, and people will come and know Jesus who don't believe yet and join us to build a sustainable community where we continue to love one another. Let me just pray for us again as a community, and then we'll got a couple more as we, we're going to be late. Father, we thank you for your grace to us, your constant grace, for how you have built and sustained us. We pray that you continue to do that. Support us. Would we know your love through it all? Amen. Amen. Alice. Let's give Alice a clap.
Thank you. So I'm just going to talk about a few significant moments of 2021, really. For me, this time last year, I was in the middle of lockdown, as everybody was, but my housemate, who I live with, had gone home for a few months, so I kind of found myself in a situation where I was living on my own, which I had never expected to have to do. I'd also, in the September before, just started my first year of teaching, and all of a sudden, we had to do online teaching, and I didn't know what that was, so I was at home, my housemate wasn't there, my colleagues weren't around, and I had to kind of piece together all these things and found it all quite overwhelming, really. Also through that, kind of ended up doing some bubble teaching, went in to teach just a small group of children, and then every couple of weeks I ended up isolating, because it was back in the day when if you had vaguely come in contact with somebody, that's it, 10 days back at home. And so that really was a significant kind of 3 months for me, where I really learnt to rely on him in a new way. I think without anybody else around and having to kind of be on my own a lot more than I would like, I actually had to lean on him in a whole new way, which on reflection I can see now how beneficial that was and how much I learned from kind of coming away from relying on man and actually relying on him, who was always there. I learned to be flexible in a whole new way. I don't really like change. I like to kind of know what's happening, and this was every week it was something different was happening, and I had to rely on him in a new way and be flexible, and ultimately over all of that to trust his plans, that he knew what he was doing, he knew what was going to come next, and he did provide me an amazing kind of friendship group that I was able to see and bubble with, and that was really good. Kind of came through all that into the springtime, went back to school, and it kind of came apparent that I wasn't going to be staying at this school any longer, and I think I kind of walked through all of this with you guys, really, but just wanted to remember it again and how I was pretty convinced that I was going to stay at this school. I was like, no, no, he'll provide some, I'll be able to stay. And it just became apparent that actually they weren't going to get another cohort where there are three year groups, so actually they didn't need me. I was like, oh, right. So here we go again. This has kind of been an ongoing challenge ever since I left uni. I left uni and struggled to find a teaching job in the first year, and he provided a job over this way, which kind of was interesting because it brought me over to Havant direction, which all makes sense now. But at the time, it was like, what are you doing? Honestly, I don't know what's happening. Got this job that I was in lockdown, and then, of course, then was had to look for another job. And it was still a time where there didn't seem to be many jobs around. It was, you know, most teachers were staying put because it was so uncertain of whether, you know, what was going on. And so it seemed, again, like, oh, I don't want to go through looking for jobs and having to do interviews and being rejected and all of those things again. And yet, in that experience, I just found God pieced it together perfectly. I had one interview at a school which I thought went quite well, and quickly found out that actually they'd employed somebody else. I'm thinking, oh, well, that's it. There's no other jobs. I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to be able to live where I live. And that's it. Disaster. Catastrophize the whole thing. And then literally the next day, there a job pops up at Menjin, which is probably 5 minutes from my house in Hayling Island. And it's a job for a reception teacher for September. And if anyone knows me, I want to do year R and nothing else. And so the fact that it was all of those things just was perfect, really. And I thought, oh, just this has got to be it. Surely this has got to be it. But also still feeling like, well, I don't know, because I've wanted to stay where I was, and that didn't happen. And so kind of walked in that and ended up, did get the job. And that was a massive answer to prayer. It was a massive provision from God. And it taught me so much more about trusting in him, that he does provide, and he provides in his own time. It doesn't always happen right when you think it will, but it always does happen. He knows what I need, and he plans even for the tiny details that I didn't even need. He went above and beyond what I needed. All I needed was a job. I didn't need a job that was 5 minutes down the road, with which was in year R, which was just a lovely environment, lovely colleagues, lovely, you know, it was great. And I'm still there now, kind of again looking at the future. I don't know. It's still a temporary contract. It's not that I'm definitely going to stay there. And so I kind of find myself in a similar position. But with every time it happens, there's a new level of trust that I have in God. I know that he's going to be faithful. I know that even if I don't end up staying here, I know that whatever he's got is the best and it is good. And there's a real joy that comes from knowing that he is in control, and that he knows what is best. I know that I'm his. And I know that these kind of growing pains are good. I think even now I feel like I'm in a time where it feels hard work, and it feels like there's still lots of stuff to deal with and figure out, but actually I know that he's growing me, and that I'm not the same as I was when I was this time last year. And I just wanted to end with a verse from Hebrews that says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart."
Well done, Alice. Thank you. Let me just pray for us. Father, we do thank you for your grace. And we hear highs and lows, and then lowers, and then it goes lower, and then it goes higher. We know this is life. And we thank you that you are faithful in it all. Help us, I pray, because we need help. Help us to lift our eyes to you, to fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, on Jesus, and help us to love one another and support one another through life as we go together, knowing that you have called us to an eternal glory in Christ Jesus. To you be the power and glory forever and ever. Amen.